Our culture has really changed. The age of chat rooms and texting, we find BFF means best friends forever. It's interesting in John chapter 15, starting in verse 12, that we find this same principle. It's something we usually hear between two people. Usually I think of junior high girls or elementary girls where they're talking about being best friends forever. They make a pact that they're going to be friends for all their life, no matter what happens. They get married or die or whatever it is. They're going to always be friends. We've got friends. You've got friends. You've got a best friend, probably. Pastor Jeremy and I have grown up and been best friends since growing up, and we enjoy that time. You've got somebody that you're best friend with. Maybe not necessarily someone that's super close, but still, there's someone in your life that's really more of a friend than anybody else. You've experienced more together, or you have more in common, whatever the case may be. Whatever your best friend is, you've had them because of the different characteristics of each other. And you enjoy those characteristics. Sometimes they're the same things. You enjoy the same kind of music or the same kind of movies. Maybe it's you have some differences. Well, one likes to eat broccoli and the other one doesn't. And so you fight over what kind of pizza to get. Then decide to go instead with McDonald's. You decide all these kinds of things, but you enjoy being with your friends. Especially your best friend. There's some kind of connection there. You know, we look here and we don't typically see God as our best friend. It's strange for us to think of somebody like Warren Buffett because of all the money and the property and everything he has, and to think that he might be your best friend, or President Obama, or somebody else that's very, very good at a sport, very popular among people, very powerful in their influence. We would never really think too much about them as becoming our best friend. One, we don't rub shoulders with them every day. Secondly, it's just sometimes a little awkward to say, why would they consider me, who's not really anybody, to be a best friend? We never think about God in that sort of way either. God who created the entire universe, God who sustains the universe as it is, God is the one who gives the sunshine and the rain. We've got scientific explanations for everything, which doesn't really explain everything. But we say, well, this is how it works. But in the end, well, yes, rain does run through a process of the water coming from the ground and going up into heaven in the sky. And then from there it collects with dirt and becomes clouds, and then it rains. Who says when it's going to rain or not? I mean, we've had some really dark clouds come by and not bring any rain. We've seen those days where the sun is shining and it's sprinkling or raining out. Well, what makes one or the other? Well, we know God's involved in all that. God is the one who's supreme authority, complete power, and absolute greatness such to the degree that for any human that we might look at and say, well, I just can't imagine that person would want to be my friend. Why would God want to be my friend? In fact, He created me. I ought to serve Him well. John chapter 15 puts a beautiful light into this. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment, says Jesus, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, that's an easy one to understand. Jesus has demonstrated love towards the apostles, the disciples, even to everyone else. And that same kind of love we should show towards each other. He says in verse 13, greater man has no one than this, that he laid down one's life for his friends. Well, think just a moment on that. Would you consider dying in the place of a friend? Well, maybe, maybe not. You know, you like your friend and all, but we're talking about the cost of your life. And then the cost of your family life and all the responsibilities and fun that you have. Yeah, we might well sacrifice ourselves for a friend. He says here in verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, this looks like a servant-slave type of relationship, doesn't it? Let me show you, walk you through this here. And the first point, Jesus laid down his life for those who would be his friend. We find that Jesus laid down his life for those who would be his friends. And it's an unusual type of friendship. He says here that no one has a greater love than the one than to lay down his life for his friends. Yet, Jesus is the one who laid down his life for the disciples and for you. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, being God's Son, has created the universe. We see in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. You find in Colossians, also in John 1:3, that it was by the hand of Jesus himself that these things were created by the power of the Holy Spirit. So before anything was created, God the Son, Jesus Christ, created everything. It seems like an unusual relationship to be best friends with the one that created you and whom you should be subservient to rather than a best friend to. Yet he became a man. And not only becoming a man, he died to pay the penalty for your sins. We might consider dying for a friend. What about dying for an enemy? Well, I don't know about that. If you're out there in Afghanistan and you saw somebody from Al-Qaeda and they were setting up a bomb and you could tell by the way they were doing it, they weren't quite sure what they were doing, they're going to blow themselves up. You know their intention was to use that bomb to blow you up. Would you run up there all of a sudden and take their body, their living body, and throw it to the side and shield them from the explosion knowing it would cost your life? Not a chance. You'd probably throw a few more Al-Qaeda members on there. They are enemies. Now, I'm not saying we go around trying to find Al-Qaeda members and blow them up, all right? But the illustration is that you know that person is there to destroy you, yet you would go and save their own life. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, we find out while we were yet enemies of God, that Christ died for us. Jesus died in order to make you a friend. We don't think that way. We think, well, we develop a friendship, and then we might sacrifice ourselves for them. You see the friendships that develop in a military situation among the same group of soldiers. They will defend the other person to the sake of their own life. Jesus was our enemy. We've got that sin nature. We don't want to do what God wants us to do. Yet, in order to make us a friend, he died for us. Jesus died to be your friend. God himself wants that kind of BFF relationship with you. It's hard for us to comprehend that. Now, at the same time, I do want you to understand that because you're best friends doesn't mean you're disrespectful either. I've also seen that. We're not disrespectful to our God. Yet he is our best friend. It goes on down here, verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, For you, a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I also have made known to you. We find here that Jesus views you as a friend rather than a slave. He talks with you. He spends time talking. He says, I am sharing with you. For 3 years of his life, he had these men that he had around him, and not only these men. He had many followers. We find that in the New Testament. But primarily, as those he was training to be leaders, those disciples, he says, everything that I have received, I've given to you. You know how friends tell secrets? I had that secret I had to keep about camp. I had to keep camp a secret. I wasn't allowed to tell anyone for on pain of my life. I was not to tell anyone what the theme was, even though I'd known it. And the kids would ask and beg. My wife would get the kids to ask and beg. And they wanted to know what was the theme for this year. And they're all excited. That's part of the fun of the spring banquet, is to hear what the theme is. I said, nope, I have to keep it a secret. Some friend I am, right? But remember when you were kids and you'd hear something that was a secret and you'd say to your friend, don't tell anyone, but. And you had those secrets. Yeah, for a lot of friends, there's hardly any secrets between you. And some, there's no secrets between them. In all of that, you find that that friendship is so tremendous. It shows a trust and a faithfulness to each other. We don't go around talking to strangers and tell them our most secret things. We don't tell them the combination to our locker. We don't tell them, hey, you know, I got a lot of cash stashed right here in case you want to know. We don't usually do that to anybody as an adult anymore. But God, Jesus, shared with us many things. He shared with his disciples for 3 years what he wanted them to know. He shared with us through his word the things that he wants us to know. Not only that, but he gives us his Holy Spirit, which communicates to us, not in some mystical way, but leading us and letting us know those things, using God's word and applying it to our heart, those things that we should know and do. Convicting us when we do wrong, encouraging us when we do right. Jesus has shared with us so much through his word and through the Holy Spirit. What would we know about God if it were not for his word? Have you ever considered that? We might be able to look around and say, this is too organized, this is too specialized in order to be just happen. It had to be designed and planned. And so some knowledge of God. But we wouldn't see how wonderful and loving and powerful and present that he is. We might draw some inferences, but we wouldn't necessarily be so sure. We'd have to have him directly communicate to us, like he did in the Old Testament, to reveal who he is. We know so much about and learn, continue to learn so much about who God is because we take what he has shared with us. He's our friend. You know your friend's favorite color, their favorite food. You know the favorite activity. You know those things. Why do you know those things? Because they've shared them with you. Jesus says, I've shared these things with you. He talks with you. Not only this, though, go on in verse 16. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in, ask the Father in my name, he may give you. We find that Jesus wants the best for you. You know how in friendships, when one person is doing something, the other person either can't or doesn't, the friend that is not participating is cheering them on. I remember being at track. In the track meets, not everybody goes all at once. So what you do is you have those that are on the bench or really on the ground and watching the events, and you see your person, you're cheering them on, encouraging them, because you want the best for them. Jesus says, I want you to bear fruit. I want to encourage you to bear. What does that mean? Well, you know what that means. We're all going to have oranges and bananas coming out of our ears, right? No, it doesn't mean that. He says he wants us to be what God considers successful. He wants to bless us. He wants us to develop those qualities that he has. He wants us to do those things he's asked us to do. A tree that's out here in our yard, in the church yard, is fairly ineffective. It provides shade in the summer. It gives you something to do in the fall as you rake it up. But they don't have some magnificent, fantastic power. Maybe if you cut them down, use them for firewood. But a fruit tree, think of a fruit tree. A fruit tree, it produces fruit from it every year. How much more enjoyable is that? Oh, much more enjoyable. You can go out there and pull off the apple or orange. It's not the season for that now, so don't go out there pulling stuff off of trees yet. But you can go and get the beautiful fruit and take that fruit and bite into it, and it tastes wonderful. God wants to work in your life so that way you're effective in ministering to other people. God wants to work in your life so you see his blessings in what you do. God wants your best to happen for his glory. Romans chapter 8:28, we see even suffering works together for good to those who love God. Jesus says here that he wants us to bear fruit for his glory. Also, God wants to help you. He says in the end of verse 16, he says, whatever you ask ask the Father in my name, I will give you. Now, sometimes people see this as a magic words. Okay, if I pray, as long as I say the words in Jesus' name, then it'll happen. It's kind of like the other magic word, please. I remember I don't think I ever did this. I may have. My kids haven't done this, but because we don't say, well, did you say the magic word? Instead, if they say, please give me this, we'll stand there and look at them. I say look dumb at them, but, you know, they probably think that already. But you just stand there and look at them. And a lot of times it'll click what we want. We're waiting to hear, please. Try and train them, teach them a little respect. Jesus is not saying whatever you say in Jesus' name for that you're going to get. Dear Lord, I will love a beautiful red Corvette. In Jesus' name, amen. I run out there and see if it's there. Why? Because it's not magic words. Calling upon the Lord based on what Jesus Christ has done for you and his authority, that's where the in Jesus' name comes. It's not magic words. It's based on the fact because Jesus Christ died for your sins and came back to life. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, that he makes you a child of his, adopts you into his family, you're born again into his family. Is by the authority of Jesus Christ, in which he stands as a high priest on our behalf, in which we, when we ask the Father, we know he hears us. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And our faith is because of Jesus Christ and knowing that we're a child of God. I think it's appropriate at the end of our prayers to say in Jesus' name. You don't see it in the prayers of the New Testament. It's not magic words we have to say, but as long as we're acknowledging who Jesus is and knowing that it's through him that we have access to the Father, Jesus says he wants to give you. those things. God has our best in store. And when we cry out boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy, find help in time of need, we know that He hears us. And God is going to give what is best for us. Whether it is an escape passage, or it is a protective suit to help us get through those hard times, whatever it is, we know that He is going to do what's best, and He does so as our friend. You want the best for your friends. So when you see them, they need help, you're struggling, you suggest, hey, let me help you this way, or maybe you need to go get some help. Or you help them with some advice. Or when you're struggling, you know you can count on your friend to help you. You count on your friend to help you, and you know they're going to be there for you. Jesus, God the Son, God Himself is your best friend. He says here, He says, do I call you servants. Servants don't know what their masters are doing, but I have called you friends. Think about that. You are God's friend. How can you enhance your friendship, though? Enhance your friendship with Jesus. That's a good question. When you're friends with somebody, you kind of got to keep the ball rolling, don't you? If there's years and years and we talk to each other, you might have had that friend back in college. Whatever your friendship was back in college or high school, you don't have that friend anymore. Maybe it was a friend that you had back in your grade school days because of the neighborhood you lived in, but you moved away since. And you remember their name perhaps, but you don't really consider them friends anymore. The distance has caused a kind of a break in friendship. Doesn't mean you're enemies, but you're not those close friends anymore. Sometimes we kind of stray from God that way. We need to make sure we're kind of on top of things. Jesus is your friend if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. He died to make you His friends. But why not develop that friendship? We need to develop that friendship by doing what we would do with any other friend. Listen to Him. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And like I said, we first think, well, that's slavery. But He says, no, not as a slave, as a friend. What kind of friend would it be as if you asked them all the time, could you not do that anymore? I don't appreciate that. And they didn't listen to you. Would you come with me and do this? I would like some help doing this. No, I'm not really interested in that. And whatever interest or help or request that you had, that other person wasn't interested at all. You would think to yourself, well, I guess time has kind of changed and we're no longer really friends anymore. That's where we would be. Jesus is always there as our friend. But where are we involved in it? Are we listening to Him? Are we building that relationship with Him? He's speaking to you with His Word. He's telling you in your heart what He wants you to do. He wants you to be with Him. We listen to Him when we come and be with His people. When we read His Word. When we honor Him that way. That's how we show friendship towards Him. We need to honor His wishes. We look at the Bible and we see that He has asked us to do things. Are we honoring Him by doing those things? What about our lifestyle? What about the way that we live our life? Are we honoring Him with our life? We've got friends and we come over to their house. We know that they don't like when we put our feet up on the coffee table or even maybe if our shoes are muddy when we come into their house and tromp all over their carpet that they just made all nice and pretty for you. Well, we go into their house and whatever friendship that you have, sometimes it's they come in and you open up the refrigerator and they look in the refrigerator and start pulling stuff out there and then close it and then eat all your food and leave. That was your college friends, right? That's what kind of friendship? No, you want to honor your friend, right? You want to be respectful towards them. We need to make sure, even though Jesus is our best friend, yes, forever, because of what he did on the cross, that we still are keeping him in that high place where he is. That we are, though not slaves of his, still honoring him. Because though we're friends, we still are servants, seeking to serve and honor him well. He also says, in one of those ways to honor him, in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. That you get along as siblings, as brothers and sisters in Christ. How can we show love towards other people? You know, the way that I see life sometimes is that people will have in their mind, yeah, that's the way people should treat me. Isn't that true? Sometimes we look at God's Word and we see what it has to say and we say, well, I'm not getting treated that way by this person or that person, so why should I treat them back that way? We look at what God's commands are, we say, boy, I'm sure glad so-and-so is here in church this morning. That way they can get a good lecture. It was my responsibility to be here at church to make sure they heard that message. And we shut the doors of our heart, we harden our hearts to God's Word, and actually let Him nest in our hearts and say, okay, where are you? Are you being that friend of God that He wants you to be? He's that best friend that stands there just waiting for your call. Just stands there waiting for you to come over and enjoy that fellowship. Just can't wait. And you're the one sometimes out there wandering off, not doing what you really could be doing. Where are you in all of this? First off, are you God's best friend? Jesus Christ died so you could be His friend. And the question is, have you come to the point in your life where you recognized you're a sinner before God? And because of your sin, you can't go to heaven. That leaves only one other possibility. That's not annihilation, it's forever in hell. But Jesus died to take the penalty that you deserve so you could be His friend. And all He asks is that you would put your trust in what He has done for you. That's God's free gift of eternal life. I hope that you are Jesus' friend by way of salvation. Now those of us that are, at least in name, His friend, what's our relationship like? You've got friends that you might sit down and think about at Christmas time or other times, and you think to yourself, boy, you know, we haven't talked to each other for a while. Or, you know, we're not really that close of friends anymore, are we? Yeah, you'd call each other up and help each other in a moment's notice, but you're not really those close friends that you used to be. What about your relationship with God? Are you that close friend of God that you should be? Are you one whose heart is just excited when you know that you're going to spend time with Him, whether at church or at home? Kids, they get so excited when school is out and they all watch out the window. I observed this one time. Every time they heard a vehicle, they popped their head out to look outside. I thought, what are they doing? And then here it comes. The school bus. Their friend Isaiah is on that school bus. And I told him, well, let the poor kid get a chance to get in the house and get a snack before you go and harass him. And he doesn't hardly drop off his book bag before he's down in our house getting the kids. They're excited about it. How excited are you about getting to know God? Where is your heart in that? Do you need a personal revival? Do you need time with God to renew your friendship with Him? I suppose all of us, to a degree, need to do that. Listen, I tell you what. There's nothing greater than having a friend that you can count on. Somebody you can call up and mess with. Somebody you can joke around, have fun, or have serious discussions, or figure out how the problems of life. The only thing better than that is a friendship with God. I hope you have that friendship And trust me, if you build on that friendship, you won't be sorry. Father, I ask that you would help each one here that they may see how great and wonderful you are and that the friendship we can have with you. Father, I ask that you would help us in a tremendous way that we may honor you because we are not just your servants, but friends. Lord, our friendship, sometimes we break that fellowship through our sin, through our waywardness, through our ignoring you, really. Lord, I ask that you would convict our hearts. And I pray that you would help each one here evaluate where they are with you, that we may become even better and closer friends to you. I thank you, Father, that you sent your Son so that even though while we were enemies, you sent your Son to make us friends. Father, thank you so much for that. May we not lose sight of the great friendship we have. And may we honor you as God. Thank you, Father, for all of this in Jesus' name.